I'm glad you're here. Take your Bible lesson today. Today we're going to... by the way, did anyone bring any visitors? Is there any visitors? Is any visitors here today? Great to have you. Did someone ask you to come? Wonderful. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're glad to have you. God bless. And what is your name? Rebel. We're glad to have you, Rebel. God bless you. We're delighted to have you. And God bless your son. And here's McCardle's. Richard, do you have a lesson number two? I want to make sure they have lessons. Okay. You might as well teach them because Porter's not here yet and Wilson ain't here yet either. So,
there's Lonnie. Here comes Lonnie and Mel. Okay. Oh, I forgot to give
them the tags too. Do you have the slips, Phil? Okay. This is Bethel Baptist Church. We never start on time. Okay. Alrighty. Yeah, it must be fun. But we always take an offering on time. I'm glad you're here today. I'll show the church later, but Jimmy Samuel came by and gave me this last night. Hey, Jack, can you turn it up? I love it. Our visitor going to say, them people are crazy. No, we're just having a lot of fun. Christians can have fun too. Amen. Amen. Last night, our Buckeye, our quarterback, got the Heisman Trophy, which he deserved. And now we got, what do you want for Christmas, preacher? All I want is a national title now. Amen. Okay. All right. Did everybody fill out a yellow slip? Because it really makes a difference. You never know. You might get a bunch of visitors in and win. That's over $100-something I'm giving away. You're getting a beautiful family Bible. I mean, it's maps and beautiful pictures and all kinds of King James Bible. Strong, exhaustive, large print concordance. And the Webster 1828 dictionary of the English language. When you look up here, you know you get the word, but they give you the scripture with the word in it. This is a tremendous. Well, I think the reason I'm doing this, I think the three books, if you only had three books in your house, you should have a King James Bible, number one. You ought to have a Webster dictionary, number two. And you ought to have Strong's Concordance. If you only had three, these are three I think you ought to have. Because with these three, you can do so much. Amen? All righty. 2 Peter chapter 3, is verse 18 is we're doing a six-week series. Well, we're not doing a six-week series because we're already going to be 7 weeks. But I'm teaching six Bible lessons. And Bobby, I don't know when. My deacon said, don't worry, but you get it done, preacher. Just take your time and do what you want to do with it. And if we go 12 weeks, amen. I don't think we'll take that long, but we took 2 weeks on the first week. And today we're starting number two, amen. I like with Burke here, just preach it, preacher. Don't worry about it. And amen. So, okay, girls, here we go. let the preacher teach now, okay? I thank God for you folks. God bless you. Notice, this is a good class. Kathy, you got papers? Okay, great. Did everybody get a yellow slip? Did we turn them in yet? Turn them in at the end of the service, okay, at the end of this class. Okay. We'll put them into the center. All righty. I'm doing a six-week discipleship course. I'm really excited about it. And 6 weeks. The first week we did, it's called Reaching New Heights for God. The first week was Reaching New Heights for God through spiritual growth. Today is Reaching New Heights knowing the will of God. The lesson three will be Reaching New Heights facing the sorrows and burdens of life. I'm going to tell you, we all face a lot of sorrows and burdens, don't we? I preached a funeral this week of a man that passed away, and it's, you know, the kids just wept, and some of them had come here prior, believe it or not, Brother Brian. And it's amazing how much sorrow that we're facing in this life. I'm going to try to help you when we next lesson. I'm going to try to help you cope with those sorrows. Amen. And how to face them so you can reach new heights for God. Then I'm number four. I'm going to how to have a peaceful home. The fourth lesson. Number five, I'm going to teach you about giving. I told a man last night, he said, I give to a lot of things. I said, well, God's not pleased with that. We should give only things what God would want us to give. And I said, many times Satan will come and try to detract your giving so you won't focus on what really think God wants that's important. So I don't give just to give. Amen? So I'll be talking to you about giving and the importance of it. Then reaching new heights, the last one, to have greater faith. And so those are the six lessons that I'll be sharing with you. We have a hope that we get done one per week, but so far it's taken two for the first, and I'm just now starting this one. So all righty. Let's have a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful we can come and study your Bible. Lord, I'm thankful for every adult here, and I just pray that you'll bless them. Thank you for our visitors. Oh, Lord, may they get a warm welcome from Bethel Baptist Church, and I just pray you'll come down and hug that dear, precious lady and all that are here today, and may they feel the tenderness of God and, Lord, the love here from Christ, and I just pray that we can be a blessing to all that are here. Help me say words that would encourage their life and help their life. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'm using the theme verse every week, and I hope this would be a good verse to memorize. I memorized it years ago as a young man. 2 Peter 3:8 says, but grow in grace. God wants us to grow, just like our kids grow up. I saw your grandson, I think, last week. He's growing. David's friend from Toledo came yesterday, and I heard David led him to Christ, too, Brian. And he has a little boy, and last time I saw a little boy, he was like this. Man, yesterday he was like this. I said, wow, you're going to, of course, his daddy's a real big man. And I said, you're going to be as big as your daddy pretty soon. He's growing. Well, God wants us as his children to grow in grace. He wants us to grow just like our children do, just like Trish is growing physically. Amen? He wants us to grow spiritually. Trouble with many times Christians, we have stunted growth. We don't grow like we're supposed to. We lack vitamin C, Christ. Amen? And but grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By the way, when you do grow in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, watch, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And so God gets glory when you grow in grace. You know how you're proud of your grandson, proud of your children? We ought to make our Father proud of us. Amen. And we make him proud of us when we grow in his grace. Okay, let's look at your paper. And notice, Ephesians 5:17. I put a lot of these scriptures on there for you just to help you see the word right in front of you. You won't have to turn to all of them, but notice what it says in Ephesians 5:17. See your paper there? Wherefore be ye, who's ye? Yes, yuns, y'all, amen? Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We're talking about knowing God's will today so we can scale greater heights. Are you with me? God wants us to know what his will is for our life. Many Christians, sad to tell you this, many Christians do not know or seek to know what the will of God is for their life. Christians who walk out of the will of God never grow in grace like God would want. Listen, look up here. Until we find what God's will is for our life, we're never going to grow in grace like he wants us to, because we're not going down the path. We're not taking the things that he wants to come into our life. Does that make sense to anybody? Now notice, God has a will for everyone's life. He's got a will for the saved person, and he's got a will for the lost person. And the Lord wants us to know his will. Notice what he says there again in Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore, be not unwise. Don't be stupid. Don't be ignorant. Don't be unknowing. Are you with me? Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Every one of us should strive to know, God, what do you want for my life? I'm glad you found the will of God for the right church. If you would not have, you would not have found truth. Isn't that great? I mean, there's so many things about your life that God wants to have, and until we find those things out, we never will grow. You're growing because you found that will there, amen? That's one thing that's in your life that you found the will for. Notice also, Colossians 1:9, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Do you think, how many believe God wants us to know his will? Yeah. That's what the scripture says. I believe the Bible. That you may be filled with the knowledge, Colossians 1:9, it's right on your paper, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. God wants us to know. He doesn't want us to walk in the dark. He doesn't want us to be doubtful. He wants us to know his perfect will for our life. Notice, it is wrong for a Christian not to seek to know God's will, because God desires for us to know his will. Let me see that. God has a perfect will for fallen mankind, and that, what's the will for lost people, preacher? Easy. 2 Peter 3:9. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. I've got it on your paper. I know I didn't write the verse up, but I put, for the Lord, 2 Peter 3:9. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing. Not willing that any should perish. Brother Dave, he realized something yesterday. His good friend from childhood, he knew his friend was lost. He knew it was God's will that for Brian not to go to hell, but to be saved. I didn't get to talk to Brother Dave. It happened right around choir time or something, but after choir or before. Rosie came home and told me, said, man, Dave got to lead Brian to Christ. This is a real tough, really tough kid, good kid, big fella, rough and ready. And David finally got the courage to say, hey, man, I want to ask you something. And he said, do you know if you die, you go to heaven, you're saved? And Brian said, no, I don't know. You know, many times, and I hope I'm not saying nothing wrong, Dave, because I didn't get to talk to you before church. But Rosie said, I think if I got this story right, Brian said to David, boy, why didn't you ask me that sooner? And Dave said, boy, I don't know. I'm just always afraid because I thought you would be upset with me.
But you know what? David's really glad he mentioned it to him now. And so is Brian. Don't be afraid to ask God, someone that's lost, would you like to know if you die, you go to heaven? There's a way you can do it without offending people, or at least try to. Amen? And I'm so glad David did that. That kid got saved. That's exciting. I hope someday we can encourage him to come. And if you don't, try to get him, maybe we can get him into one of the churches down in Toledo now or somewhere. Oh, wow. And so we'll probably get him in Pastor Teach's school, church, and get him baptized and stuff like that. Amen. But we need to, see, by the way, it was God's will that Brian be saved, and it was God's will that David witness to him. I wonder how many times God had a will for us to witness to somebody, and we didn't do God's will. And many times, and I've been there too, Dave, I'd feel like witness myself, oh man, they're going to get mad. They're going to just get upset. I'm not going to say nothing. Maybe it ain't the right time. And so I think it's the right time anytime for people to get saved. But God's got a will for people that are not saved to get saved. It says in over there in Luke 13:3, Jesus said, likewise, unless you all repent, you shall perish. And so God's got a will for lost people. Lost people, he wants all people to be saved. That's his will for them. So you say, what's God's will for my family that's lost? That they get saved. There might be a lot afterwards, but the number one right now is for them to get saved. That's all you need to know. God will show them the rest later, amen? Hey, if they don't get saved, they don't go to heaven. When they die, I hope the man that I preached the funeral last week, I didn't know him personally, and I hope that he knew Christ as a Savior. If he did, he went straight to heaven. If he didn't, he's in hell right now crying out. Now, God's not, people say, well, God never sent anybody to hell. He never does. No, people send themselves to hell because they don't receive his love. Jesus came for all people. All you got to do is receive him. So many people they're going to open up millions of Christmas gifts all over the world this year. But the greatest gift of all, and the one that really counts, is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus came down as a wrapped gift from God. All you got to do is open the package. Amen. Let him come into your heart. Well, let's keep going on our paper. Notice. note, both saved man and lost man can say no to God. Yeah. Look up here. God doesn't force himself on anyone. He lets everyone be a free moral agent. God doesn't force himself. He calls out, please come, please come. But the decision is always left with you to either accept or deny. Both saved men and lost men can say no to God, but the Lord does have a perfect will for them to follow if they only obey his will. Now, I want to look at some ways how God reveals his will to us who are saved. Number one, God reveals his will to us by his Holy Spirit. You say, preacher, how can I know the will of God? Well, number one, you can know it because the Holy Spirit's inside you and it bears witness. Look at Romans 8, chapter 4. Romans 8, 4. I'm 8:14 rather. I'm all right. First mistake I made in the last 5 minutes. 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you're led by him, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's not speaking in tongues. That's inside you saying, Lord, I know you're there. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Listen, the Holy Spirit will speak to us. I gave you a few scriptures there. John 16:13 talks about the Spirit of God will lead us and guide us. 1 John 2:27 says it'll teach you and show you. Listen, once you get saved, and well, we had a great time teaching us in our Romans class on sanctification, but now we're in glorification. Yes, we are. Amen. This coming Tuesday, 2 hours of glorification. And so it's amazing. It's probably going to take me 3 or 4 hours to teach that doctrine of glorification. And it's going to happen just like that when God does it. Isn't that amazing? But one way God will show us his will, the Holy Spirit will speak to us. I noted, don't turn to it, in 2 Kings 19:12, Elijah had heard that still small voice. There's a still small voice that God speaks to us within. And you got to be saved to know that. When you get saved, God puts his Holy Spirit inside you. The very moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God came in. You didn't see it. You didn't feel. But the Bible says he did an operation made without hands. Amen. Circumcision, but of the heart. He came into us, and he abides in us. And Kathy, one way God expresses his will to you and I, the Holy Spirit will speak to us. Oh, you won't hear someone from the heaven. Kathy, I want you to do that. No, you won't hear an audible voice. Only Oral Roberts and them do that. I better not get on it. Offend somebody. He don't hear him either, by the way. He just tells you he does. He didn't see no 90-foot Jesus. He just told you he did. Okay, let me get off that. Can't help it, though, Brother Carey. There's so many false teachers out there. But there'll be a still small voice in your heart, and it'll tell you, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. And that's one way God uses through his Holy Spirit to teach us his will, to show us his will. Another way, number two, another way he reveals his will through us is through his holy word. Remember, thy word is spirit, John 6:63. Are you with me? And God never goes contrary to his holy word. I put there Psalms 119, verse 133. Order my steps in thy word. Listen, you want to do God's will? Follow his word. God will never ask you to do anything ever contrary to the word of God. Never. You say, well, does it bear witness to my heart? Then does it, if what I want to do, does it line up with what God's word tells me? God will never, his perfect will never go contrary to his word. Whatever you're wanting to do, it better line up. For instance, and I'm just using this it's probably a poor example, but just a way to show you. Someone says, well, God told me to go rob a bank. It says, will I rob a bank so I can give the preacher money to build a new building? God would never tell you to do that. Because it's against his word. God told me to not come to church and just stay home. God would never. He says, forsake not the assembly. How many are with me? And so, when you're reading God's word, many times, his will, as you read his word and as you hear it preached, his will be shown to you. Are you with me, children of God? And so, number two, he shows us through his word. By the way, I put Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. Because some people say, well, don't worry, Freddie. This 2006, God's Bible don't apply to you today. Yes, it does. But the world, Bobby, would want us to think, hey, you don't have to listen to that Bible anymore. It's archaic. It's outdated. The Bible's not outdated. It's still as true today as it was yesterday. It's as true today as when they first penned it. It's God's written, preserved, perfect Bible, perfect word. And it's Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, and forever. This Bible will always have the truth for you. And I'm glad God gave us a perfect Bible. And his that Bible shows me his will, if I'll get in it. Order my steps in thy word. Psalms 119, verse 133. We can learn some. And then number three, we can learn some things about knowing God's will by studying the life of Jesus. Yeah. Jesus was our greatest example. Amen. Look at Matthew 26:39. And he went a little farther, fell on his face, prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." By the way, that cup was all the sins of mankind. Jesus had to become sin, who knew no sin. That's why his blood turned. That's why his sweat became blood, because his holiness was so taken in that he had to become sin. "Let this cup pass me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Jesus, notice your paper I put there. Jesus was always submissive to the Father. Too many times we fail to do God's will because it goes against our will. We refuse to submit our will for his will. Isaiah 6:8 says, "Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying unto me, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" They said, "Here am I, send me." Listen, when God speaks to us, we should just submit and say, "Here am I." Many times though, we don't want to do that. "Here am I" should be our response to God when he speaks to us and shows us his will for our life. Doing God's will, though, is not always easy. God's will is not always easy. Sometimes he sends trials and challenges in our life, but knowing God's will doesn't mean everything will be fun and roses. You know, we say, "Man, I don't know why. Boy, I'm doing God's will and I'm going through a hard time." I'm going to tell you, doing God's will doesn't mean you're going to have fun and roses. The Apostle Paul did his will. He went through all kinds of heartaches and sadness. Knowing God's will and obeying his will is always, though, the right thing and the best thing for your life. Turn to the second page. That's the first bell. I got one more. There's two bells. God reveals his will to us through obedience. Hebrews 10:7, Jesus said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." See, listen, if you don't have a submissive heart to God, you're never going to find his will. Because if you want your will over his will, how are you going to know his will? Right. How many are getting what I'm trying to teach you this morning? We have to say, "God, here I am. Speak, Lord," as Samuel here said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Jesus, listen, Jesus left the splendor of heaven. He came to this world to do the will of the Father. It cost him, Jesus, his life to do the Father's will. Aren't you glad he did, though? Philippians 3:8, Jesus was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let me give you three key words for knowing God's will. Acceptance. Accept that God has a will for you. A lot of people don't even think he's got a will for you. Submission. Be willing to submit to whatever God's will is. And number three, obedience. Once you know God's will and submit to it, then you need to be obedient and do it. I know that it profits nothing to know God's will if you don't act upon it. "What's God's will? He wanted me to do this, but I didn't do it." What good was it for you to know his will then if you're not going to do it? I got down in 1 Samuel. Mark this on your paper. Just mark 1 Samuel 15:22. It says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." You know, obedience is the very best thing. And Ephesians 2:10, God has ordained that we walk in his will. Christians should seek after God's will for their life. Christians going through life not knowing God's will for them is wrong. It's a wasted life. Don't go through life not knowing God's will. You're wasting your life. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Listen, our talents and our gifts are all God-given. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every good thing comes from heaven, from the Father of lights above. And God expects us to do what he has, use what he's given us. Listen, whatever God's given you to use, you need to use them. Amen. A life that's wasted on sin and the world is a reproach and should never be once named among God's children. Too many Christians are wasting their life. 2 Timothy 2:19, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Too many Christians are caught up in a lot of bad stuff. We need to get out of that stuff. You'll never know. Listen, if I'm out in the world, I'll never know God's will. Right. You put this on your paper. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is a light, we'll fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If you don't walk in the light of Christ, you'll never know his will. You won't have fellowship. And if you don't have fellowship, you're never going to know his will. You'll be out of fellowship, and you'll be out of his will. And sin will keep you out of God's will. Are you with me, class? Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. If you'll walk with him. Sometimes if you have doubts about God's will, put a fleece out. Then I just want to say this to you. And remember Judges chapter 6? Remember how Gideon, now hold on, I'm going to finish this. But we're going to finish it. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. In Judges chapter 6, Gideon said, Lord, will you save Israel through me? And so he put a fleece out. He said, now, Lord, I'm going to put this fleece out, and I hope I get it right. If you let the dew get on it, then I'll know it's your will. So he put it out, and the dew got on. They said, now, Lord, I want to make sure. So I'm going to put out this time. Don't let no dew get on it. And both times he asked, it came both ways. You know, be specific. Say, God, if this is what you want, provide this or do this. And if you do this, I'll know it's perfect, your perfect will, and I'll do it. Can I say something to you also? My first preacher, when I first got saved, taught me this. If you ever have doubt about doing something, most likely it is not God's will. Take it to the bank. Whenever you have doubt, because when God shows his will, he'll make you have confidence this is the right thing. When I came to Bethel, I knew I was coming here. When I started the church at Lighthouse Baptist, I knew it was God. I'm going to tell you, God's will is perfectly known if we'll just open our hearts to it. Amen? Now, I think we can, yeah, that's good. What Christians should seek to know God's will? All Christians. Those who have been saved a long time and those who are new converts. Everyone should be seek God's will. I don't care if you're just saved or, and then lastly, aren't you glad the Apostle Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9 as he accepted Jesus as the Savior? And he asked the question, what would thou have me to do? Aren't you glad he did God's will? He reached all the known world, wrote half the New Testament Bible. Hello? I'm here. Boy, Brother Carey, just think if Paul wouldn't have did the will of God, you could rip out half of your New Testament. It wouldn't be there right now. You'd only have about 12 books in the New Testament instead of 27. You'd have about 14, somewhere in there, okay? Count Hebrews. So in conclusion, seek to know God's will, submit to God's will, and do God's will. Take this little thing home and study it. I got a little bit late start today. Next week we're going to talk about this, the sorrows of life. Amen? Pass those in. Thank you. Brother Kerr, here's mine. Pass them in. Pass your yellow slips into the middle. As soon as you pass them in, you're dismissed. We'll break 5 minutes and have church time. Pass in your yellow slips.